our breaking news editor, Charles Capel, is with us. Charles, you every day bring us a whole range of stories about different companies making announcements here in London. You have a big task today as you're trying to draw all of these stories together into themes that we've seen throughout the year and how these companies have reacted to some of the big issues that have moved global markets in 2022. Let's start with high commodity prices. How were UK businesses affected by that?
Yeah, I mean, it's really been the story of the year, and it's the year, I think, that we found that the link between commodity prices and corporates, and we've seen it so clearly. I mean, the most obvious effect are all of the oil and gas companies that are listed in London, the likes of BP and Shell. They have done enormously well from all of these high commodity prices, particularly oil and gas prices. Shell's second quarter adjusted profit, for example, $11.5 billion. Objectively, that is a huge amount of money to be making in a single quarter. Glencore also did extremely well. They had retained their coal operations as a result. They have particularly done well when coal has been put in focus as well. But of course, with those record earnings also came regulatory scrutiny and the likes of the windfall taxes, which came in. I think it was first announced at the end of May that there'd be a windfall tax. And then we've also seen that extended throughout the year. So when we've been thinking back over this year, it has been the really high commodity prices, which has been great for the people producing or mining the commodities, but not so great for basically everyone else. And we've ultimately seen the bill for that this year. It's been driving inflation. It's been one of the key things behind it, those higher energy prices. And ultimately, the consumers, people have seen the bill for it.
Yeah. So consumer pain then, does how bad has it been this year and does that continue then?
Yeah, exactly. And then the flip side of those high commodity prices were prices going up everywhere for everything else because the cost of manufacturing, everything got more expensive. The cost of keeping the lights on in restaurants, in pubs, in even just shops, became more expensive. And as a result, consumers started to change their behaviour. They started to do things like trade down from the premium brands that the likes of Unilever and Reckitt produce to those more budget brands and maybe the own name brands that you might get in the likes of Asda or Sainsbury's or Tesco's. And then we've also seen the price competitiveness between the supermarkets. We have a huge amount of supermarkets listed here in London, and we've started to see a resurgence a bit of the price wars as well. Tesco and Sainsbury's are talking about paying to try and keep those prices low. They're thinking, right, we need to stay competitive. We need to retain our customers. And so we are willing to accept a bit of a price or an impact on our margin in order to retain those customers. And at the worst end of the scale, we've seen some companies fail to really make it through the year, or at least make it through the year in completely different shape. The companies that come to mind are both Joules and Made.com. Of course, Joules makes, you know, flashy Wellington boots, brightly coloured Wellington boots with flowers and things on them. Made.com is a very hip millennial furniture maker. Both of those entered administration this year. Both were actually bought by Next PLC. And they started, I mean, Made started the year with a £547 million market cap. And it's now trading at a massive, massive discount to that.
Thank you, Next. Yeah. Turning to high interest rates, Charles, of course, big impact on things, including the housing market. I always like to bring up something that our colleague Neil Callanan said on air at some point when we were reporting on one of the stories about the housing point, that everything everywhere was going wrong all at once in the housing market. Was that the story played out across home builders?
Yeah, it was a little bit. And look, I think it's extraordinary if you think back to last December, interest rates were at 0.01%. So just it was really, really tiny. Sorry, 0.1%. Now they're at 3.5%. Just think about the change in the market that we have had. And even over the last decade, money has been so cheap. Now that effect on the housing market has obviously made threatened to slow it down a little bit. And I think there was a period throughout most of the year where people were thinking, right, we need to get our deal done. If we're looking at moving house, if we're looking at buying a new house, we need to get our deal done. And then there was a turning point probably in the beginning of the fourth quarter, it seems, or the end of the third quarter, where people started to say, okay, instead of trying to get in behind the interest rates, we're going to just put off making any deals. And that has led to a bit of a slowing in the housing market. Housing prices have fallen. The home builders who were previously saying their mantra of, as long as there's a imbalance of demand, as long as there's not enough demand and too much, too much demand and not enough supply, house prices will remain resilient. We have seen those falling a little bit recently. And then the flip side of high interest rates are also banks doing relatively well. Their net interest margins are improving. So that's the difference between the money that they get from loaning the money and the money that they give from holding deposits. That has boosted them.
Yeah, and just lastly, a report out in terms of Bloomberg crunching the numbers globally, M&A's really had a huge hit, down 30% this year.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the end of cheap money. But if you are a private equity company and you're looking to buy someone, you basically have to do it in cash. And we did have some deals coming through, but certainly not what we saw last year. And then the IPO market in London particularly has really frozen up. And the ones that did list in last year, they haven't done particularly well. And it has been quite stark that London as a market hasn't had a very positive last year in terms of new listings.
Okay, Charles Capel, our breaking news editor, thank you so much for taking us through that roundup of the big themes that UK businesses were affected by this year. More from Charles in the new year in the London Rush, but you can always read the newsletter on Bloomberg.com and on the terminal.